Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Welcome, please, Hooverers. This one was a huge fun live record from Newcastle's brilliant MAPS Festival at the excellent Gosforth Civic Theatre back in February. My star-studded local guests were none other than Emmerdale's Charlie Hardwick, who's knocking about being amazing at the moment in Channel 4's Ackley Bridge. Also comedians Seymour Mace and Hal Branson, and local beer wizard and more, Katie Cullen, co-creator of the groundbreaking Block and Bottle. But before we get starting, I've got two huge things that you have to know about first. We've got live shows coming up, Hoovering live shows in Glasgow tomorrow, if you're listening to this, on the day of release, 29th of March, with Susan Kalman off Strictly and QI and News Quiz, and Jean Johansson, the host of The One Show, and also Place in the Sun and loads of other things, loads of animal programmes and stuff. She's sound as a pound, it's going to be amazing, and a local food wizard that's cooking up a proper storm all around Glasgow, Julie Lynn McLeod. And then we've got loads more live shows from May in McCuntleth Festival, Wells Festival in Somerset, and London's Underbelly Southbank Festival. If you want to come to any of those, or indeed come and see me do any stand-up, then either go to the podcast notes on Acast or come to my website, jessicafostercue.com, and I list everything there under my doings. So, second bit of news, second bit of business, point of order. And it's a big one. So I bang on about it every episode, but I'm on a site called Patreon, which is where some amazing people are already doing it. People can lend me, including you if you want, not lend, give, let's be honest, it's give. You can give me anywhere between $2 and however many dollars you want a month, and there are different tiers of rewards that you can get. So there's stuff like guest recipes, there's discount tickets to live shows, but one of the things I'm going to be rolling out more and more is exclusive content. And I'm going to do a special offer from right now by way of saying a giant thanks for my patrons to you. Thank you if you are one, and also to prove how great it is to become one. So this episode that you're about to hear from Newcastle, the live show, there's an extra, just as brilliant, but currently secret, 25 minutes of it, because I did a great, big, juicy, long live recording. It's just as funny and spicy as the rest of the show, and it could be yours and only yours exclusively if you either are or if you become a £10 patron or above at that tier by Friday the 12th of April. Head to patreon.co.uk/thehooveringpod and click on the special offer button. You have to do it before that deadline on the 12th of April, and you can either boost up if you're already a patron, boost up to $10 for a month or so, or join at that tier. Hopefully see you there, please. Right, best get on with the podcast. My friends, welcome to Hoovering Live! Thanks. Hey, welcome. So, my name is Jess Fostercue. This is a podcast all about eating, and I'm joined by some amazing guests who, if you don't mind, I'm just going to let you introduce yourselves. Do you mind saying what your name is and who you are and why you are?
I'll start. Hello, I'm Hal Branson. I'm not Nadine Shah. sorry. And I'm a comedian.
Sing us a song, Hal.
No.
I'm Seymour Mace, and I'm here because I'm, like, eating things. And I heard that's what this was about, eating things, so I'm all for that. I think there should be more of that kind of thing, especially in countries where they don't eat a lot.
Yeah.
I think they should be encouraged to eat.
There should be, like, some campaigns, shouldn't there?
Yeah.
It's just, do you think there's so many places where people are so fussy?
Exactly. She could call it Get It Down Your Neck. Get it down your neck, have some big loser type, you know, some.
This has got Channel 5 written all over it, seems.
Kathy Burke or someone could be the head of. You know, Get it down your neck.
Get it down the neck, you cunt.
There you go, yeah.
That's basically her Twitter feed, that is. Yeah. It's brilliant. She's one of my heroes. All right, I think that's a brilliant idea. Cheers, Seymour. Katie.
Hi, I'm Katie and I have Block and Bottle, a butchers and craft beer shop in Gateshead.
It's badass, we've already done Paris, yes.
Oh, and those.
Yeah.
I also have a charcuterie company.
So say that again.
I have a charcuterie company.
That's like going to be the sort of thing that people that aren't from Newcastle that listen to this podcast later are going to be wanking over. just your accent saying charcuterie.
Charcuterie.
Charcuterie. Charcuterie. Shark-eatery. I thought
Shark-eatery.
She said. Somewhere where people eat sharks.
We don't make shark salami yet.
Get it on the
might,
bloody
might
list.
Sink.
Have you met a hipster?
Might sing. I hear they swim.
Lovely. Hello.
Hello, my name's Charlie Hardwick. I'm an actor, I'm a vegetarian, I'm a radical celiac.
A radical
Thank
one.
Thank you, I got a round of applause. A little one,
yeah,
but it was good. I've got followers.
Celiacs, unite! So I feel like also we've got so much food on the go, we almost need to introduce that as well. We have got loads of cakes from the Jesmond Cake Company. But do you know what? Oh, God, they look so fit. Look how fit that looks. There's definitely going to be some of that left over. That's lime and coconut. There's some gluten-free ones. There's carrot cake, does contain soy. There's sesame cookies.
Toffee apple cookies.
Rose macaron. Fuck the bird. Seymour, you've made something. What are these?
Cream cheese spirals, mate.
Cream cheese. They look like mini croissants, don't they?
No, they've got cream cheese in the pastry.
Look like pigs in blankets.
Like, put cream cheese in the pastry and then you roll them out like a pizza and then you put like a mixture of walnuts and brown sugar and cinnamon in them and then like you roll them up like croissant and then you put egg wash and sugar on them and then you put them in the oven.
Show off. The energy and charisma behind that description, Seymour.
No, it's weird that Seymour
haven't got my own cookie show.
Yeah,
Seymour cooks on his own in a flat on his own.
ADHD cooking. And here's the list of the recipe again.
But even slower.
The M&S adverts.
Yeah, the antidote to the M&S adverts. Kill your boner with recipes.
Put your feet in.
And Hal, I'm going to... Can you... There's stuff that you need to describe. Tell us where
he
it's from and what it is.
Seymour, we've had this discussion. I made things happen. There's a big...
It does.
I went around the Usburn, spoke to all my hipster mates, and give us some lush food that we can talk about on this lovely podcast. So we've got these here, which are cruffins from Northern Rye Bakery, half croissant, half muffin. Great name. The portmanteau.
You thought you'd already lived, but it turned out you hadn't been born.
They are lemon and poppy seed cruffins.
Sounds like a crusty muffin, though, doesn't it? A
muffant.
Crusty
muffin. I would call it a muffant.
Seymour would have called it a muffant.
Seymour would have called it a muffant.
Couple of them muffants. Muffants.
So, Charlie,
this country's wrapped up in the class system. It's all about class, isn't it? Cruffin is like what posh people would say. And the council estates would call it a muffant. Can I get a couple of muffins for your dad's breakfast? What do you want? Oh, the peppercorn and lime.
Poppy seed. Just get some of that sharky ootery while you root as well. then we have some pickles from the cookhouse, which is Anna who set that up. She's also the grazer. There's an apple and earl tree tea jelly. There's some roasted squash with dill, and then there's like a cucumber pickle. And then is all the charcuterie from Meat, Salt, Smoke, which obviously Katie can tell you about because she made that. And then there's loads of beers, which I'll tell you about in a bit.
And we've got loads of vegan cheese, posh vegan cheese from Tyne Cheese.
I've just tasted my first vegan cheese. And can we just say, because this is on radio, you're not allowed to say cheese if it's made of vegan stuff. You have to say cheese. Because it's got an A in it. Look, everybody, I know you can't see this at home. But it says K-H-E-A-S-E.
Cheers. I would never have gone for that as the pronunciation. But when you're taught it by a local, you can't argue.
I'm a pata merchant. I'm trained. I work in words, so I know how to pronounce everything. But I've just tasted. Look, everybody, this is a bit of cheese, and it's garlic vegan cheese, and it is absolutely gorgeous. It's gorgeous. The texture, it's creamy.
I feel like I'm
garlic.
Cheating with thyme cheese. Cashews.
Nuts.
There's
it
cashews.
See, it's not cheese. I take slight umbrage at this. Like when they say, it's a vegan sausage roll. It's not. It's a vegan sort of mulchy thing in pastry. That's fine.
You got a problem with vegans.
You wouldn't sell as many if you call it that.
We're working on the branding. What about the branding was, get it down your neck? And we had Kathy Burke fronting the vegan. But no, it's when you just drop the word sausage, call it a vegan roll. Vegan roll? Will you go with that?
I'll never go along with anyone who tells me to drop the word sausage.
That's why you and I will never go into business together.
I don't. Hal, I think I'm on a different page. I couldn't care less. I don't think you can say. If you say, it's vegan cheese, I'm not going to be like, I didn't hear the first word. I don't care.
Also, sausage.
You know, if it's a vegan sausage roll, because have you tried that one from Greg's?
I haven't yet, but I'm not.
It's exactly the same ambiguous hot wet grey and some very greasy thin pastry.
I like to put like meat in vegan stuff and tell people it's nut loaf, but it's like carnivores.
Yeah, it's true. This should be it.
You're getting really filthy stares from this end of the table. That's a nasty thing to do.
My gran's got filthy stares.
Stop trying to incite pity just because of your nana's filthy house. I mean, spiking vegans with meat.
I don't really do that. I respect them. I admire them. I wish I had the willpower. I used to be a vegetarian, then I got to a point where I didn't like animals anymore. So from then I was happy to eat them.
Yeah.
I would eat people if you were allowed.
You can in a plane crash.
Exactly. I would have done that in Alaska where the ball crashed and then they sliced up each other. And it was all like, the film was making out like it was a tough decision. Eat me mate's arse or die. I'll eat his arse, thank you very much.
If you ate me, would that be a vegetarian option?
There you go.
Gluten-free vegetarian.
There you go.
Very healthy, cannibalism. Fed on vegetarian products.
I normally ask later on in the podcast that if you had to, would you eat a person? But we've got your answer early, Seymour, and for that, I'm very grateful.
Definitely.
On the topic of meat, Katie, did you say you used to be a vegetarian and now you're a butcher?
I own a butcher's.
Own a butcher's, which if anything is kind of more meaty than being a butcher, isn't it? It's you're a butcher's pimp.
I'm literally a butcher's wife.
Okay, not pimp. That's very insulting of me to have said that. And now I understand.
I do pimp them out, though. Stephen and Joel, they're out for hire.
Perfect. Oh, really? Amazing. So tell us about these.
So we've got a rosemary, salami, I don't even know what's here. What's here? Black pepper and vanilla, and a citron, peppercorn and fennel. So
I like the idea of those
flavours.
This
is what it sounds like to eat them.
How can you describe? Can you describe?
I don't think you want him to voice.
Just delicious. I did got told off by Katie earlier on because I was cutting it far too chunky, and I ate the skin, which apparently is not. You shouldn't do.
No, you can.
Oh, really? Will you get ill?
You can eat the skin.
It's just sometimes it's a bit intense. And a bit
if I was going to eat that, it's definitely going to be like, I want the intense bit.
You can eat the skin.
Yeah.
You can fondle a gorge. You don't have to.
Not advised.
Some people do, but, you know, I wouldn't.
We need to talk about these beers as well. Hang on quickly. The beers. These are from Northern Alchemy.
Whoa.
Yeah, big shout out. I'm drinking a Moroccan spiced mild, and it is fucking lush.
What does it taste of?
Okay, let's say, okay.
Moroccans.
Ras El Hanout. No, I don't fucking know. It's like a slightly spicy, slightly tangy. It's really fruity. I sort of said it earlier, I've got like a pathetic child's palate when it comes to booze. And I'm nervous about good, like really good ales, even when they're IPAs, whatever, because I just don't. I'll be like, I don't appreciate it. But that I love. It's really light, and it's not like it just doesn't taste of old men's breath. And is this the pineapple or something?
Pineapple and passion fruit sour.
Oh fuck! It sounds like a sweetie.
It's
I'd
basically
want.
Like juice.
That is lush. That's kombucha meets. That tastes a bit of kombucha. Lilt.
Is it like lager and lime?
There you go.
Yeah.
Andy
it's
and
like
Carl,
a warm mojito. I'm not describing it in a way that makes it sound delicious, no. But it is delicious.
It's like the right amount of sour.
Yeah, the right amount of sour. So now you're a beer wizard, Katie.
Yeah.
I think that's your official working title.
What I wanted to be when I grew up.
How old were you when you knew you liked beer for the first time? And I would like everyone's answer to that.
Like, official answer?
Yeah. True 18. Answer. No!
I don't know. I've always drank beer. Mm. And then when I was 20-ish, I tried a beer called Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Mm.
And loads of people start on this as like, oh, that's how I got into beer. But my ancestor was called Sierra Nevada. She was born in a covered wagon crossing the Sierra Nevada mountains.
What?
So I can't...
This is a much better story. You're like... Your voice is apologising for what is an amazing story here.
I think she's a fantasist.
Your Randy cowboy ancestry.
Yeah, so I felt like I had an ancestral connection to this mass-produced beer. So
my uncle Heineken... oh, it was such a laugh.
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
And then I just started drinking more and didn't stop.
Perfect. Do you remember when you first liked booze, Charlie? Is this like a really rude question? That's so classy, I think, to be like Sierra Nevada because there's a link to my family, because that's like a nice...
I mean, it's not official.
I worked my way in from about 11, 12 up with like, we used to drink vodka neat. No, it was in the countryside. We didn't have a lot else to do. Alcopop, shit like that. So in terms of beer, you know, booze that tastes of booze, I had to work my way in through... So I had a couple of years on the Desperados before I tasted a nice beer and was able to like it. I had to have, like, the one marketed for children first.
Now, I've still never got into beer.
Yeah.
I'm trying a lot of different things.
Mm.
I think the first alcohol I ever had, I was 11 and I was at a friend's party and their mum and dad had gone out. And I think they got us a Campari and lemonade. And all I know is that I slid down the stairs on a tea tree. And it was the best thing. So I've kind of spent the rest of my life trying to recreate that moment.
Oh, that first sweet, sweet high of sledding down your own friend's stairs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it was great. But I'm having a gluten-free IPA, an Allendale, and it's nice, but I would probably have to put lemonade in it.
And gluten.
Yeah.
Thumbing a bit of bread in the top.
And so on the last sort of... the food and drink savoury stuff anyway that we've got. We've also got a selection of stuff from a cafe you've got up here called Sky Apple. And it's, I get the impression that a lot of people involved in the festival have worked there at some point. And it's one of those type of places, which is very cool. And they've done like the most enormous platter of vegetarian, gluten-free, capsicum-free savoury stuff for us. So we've had kofta, like vegetarian koftas. There's some saffron arancini. Is that how you say it? I never know whether I'm talking about a spider, but do you know the thing? It's like a, it's like a yellow ball of rice with some kind of cheese in the middle of it. Like a, I shouldn't have spoiled. That was spoilers. There's some lush shit in the middle of it. Falafel. There's two types of hummus, and there's some vegetarian. Sweet corn fritters with a lime dip. What are your thoughts, Seymour? Have you enjoyed this?
Yeah, very nice. Very tasty.
Job done. What? Job done. Don't know.
Moving on. Is that it can be bland, isn't it?
Yeah.
All food has the danger of being bland, and this food isn't. It's very tasty, which is a skill in itself. Because you know what I mean? Most food's not that good, is it? I'm a poor person. I eat poor people food. You know, I don't eat the rich people food that you see on the telly. If I want to experience that, I have to watch rich people eating it on the telly. I'm used to, my sense has been dulled by poor people food like Greggs and things like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which are, you know, and the tastes here this evening are wonderful.
Aww.
Yeah, there's actually a little tear going down your cheek. Isn't it?
Nice. Yum, yum.
Hal, quite amazingly has Hal stepped in at the last minute. There were some very totally understandable unforeseen last minute reasons why one of our guests couldn't be here, so Hal has stepped in at the last minute, and I think it's in possibly one of the most on brand for this podcast things that's ever fucking happened. Hal has already been out this afternoon for the entire afternoon eating a 13 course tasting menu but nonetheless has agreed to come and eat and drink more here now.
Where was that? Where were we doing that, like?
I knew, coming off the back of Seymour and me talking about that.
Like, Seymour eats poor people food.
Oh,
Hal,
just sitting in a room.
Little Lord Hal. Tell us about your life.
Well, I spent the afternoon having a 13-course tasting menu. So, well, Seymour and I have both very recently celebrated landmark birthdays. And for my 40th birthday, my sister very kindly took us out for lunch, and we went for it today, me, Beth and her. And we went to the, it's called the... God,
it's so posh, it hasn't got a name on it.
Assam TIPA from Northern Alchemy, 7.4% is maybe not able to talk. It was called, what was it called, Matilda? The Black Swan at Oldstead, and it's run by a chef called Tommy Banks, who I think sounds like an East London gangster. Fucking Tommy Banks.
I've seen him on Great British Menu.
Yeah, I've seen him on Great British Menu. If you watch Great British Menu, he's on that.
It's closest I'll get to his restaurant.
Do you want to smell the menu I've brought in?
Delicious.
I want to know about these allergies, Charlie. Do you have a terrible time out and about?
Yeah.
Because, I'm genuinely,
nothing to do with the allergies.
I'm genuinely really interested to, nothing to do with the allergies.
Yeah, all right.
Vicar of Dibley at the end. You have a waff a thin mint.
So, would you like a gluten-free cracker there, Jess Tor?
I'm going to have an... Oh, would you like me to?
No, I was just wondering. Oh, I was just offering you the alternative.
Oh, I'm
unlike in restaurants.
Yeah, okay. But also I'm very interested to know whether it's been worse since. There were a couple of high-profile cases recently, and I've got friends where pet places were shut down because somebody got given something they're allergic to, having said they're allergic to it, and then died. Yeah. All my friends with allergies have just said they're just having an impossible time where no one will cater for them now.
No, litigation. I think people are just terrified. There are... I didn't know until very recently that I was celiac.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So once I was diagnosed, I said to the doctor, well, that's all right, I'll just eat different bread. And he went, I don't think you realise this is an autoimmune disease. And if you eat gluten, actually what you do is you devour yourself. So you cannibalise your own small intestine. Is anybody eating at home?
Oh, wow.
So you attack yourself and you eat your own villi, which I can remember from biology at school. Yeah. Like little fingery villi, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, you eat all that until your gut's all completely flat on the inside, and then you don't absorb any nutrients or iron or anything, and then it starts to leak into your body because...
So that's fascinating. I really wanted to know that. And if the people that are here because they know the podcast will be in perverts for that kind of shit, Charlie. Don't be embarrassed. I love knowing all this kind of stuff.
I understand now because I've got some celiac friends and I always went, oh, it'll be all right. Yeah. It'll be fine. And it won't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can't get away with it, which I thought, mate, I'll just have this spoonful, it'll be all right. And you're poisoned. Yeah. You are extremely ill for days. So when somebody says in a restaurant, is it gluten-free? They go, yeah, it'll be fine. It's like, no, is it really gluten-free?
What was there something you were saying about the beer earlier, Hal? They have to go through some process.
That Allendale stuff you're drinking, each batch has to be certified as gluten-free. So it's not like they can just... They did, like, every time they make that gluten-free
beer... They pay per batch for a new
it's 100 quid per batch to make sure that it's every single one is...
How much is a batch?
100 quid.
No, it's 100 quid to test a batch.
No, but how much is a batch? Like, four bottles?
Yeah. Let's chat to our beer expert, Katie.
Yeah,
how much is a batch? It's a collective noun for 1,000 bottles. I don't know.
I would probably say it depends how big the brewery is.
Of course.
Oh. I was just in my expert.
Bigger than obvious, house. Isn't it?
Can I get try some of that nut cheese?
Honestly, it's... it's
don't want Hal to get upset.
To say that for about 20 minutes.
Do you want Qatar spice?
I really genuinely want to try.
Do you want garlic?
I'm intrigued by
it. There's garlic, Qatar spice or original?
Qatar.
Can I try Qatar spice?
Well, like
guitar spice.
Smokers of original.
It's
absolutely
spicy
delicious.
One. Absolutely
abhorrent human rights records.
What? Vegans. I saw a church the other day. I passed a church and I read it as I passed in the car and I thought it said the Holy Church of the Vegan Mary. And I did a double take. You know, no, obviously it wasn't.
She'd have been even smugger about it, wouldn't she? Yeah. Getting that baby out without fucking anyone.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
We've moved on to sweet things at this end of the table, just to let you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think let's try some sweet things.
These toffee apple cookies are amazing.
A muffant. Yeah. Do you know what? Yeah, I do.
Shall I cut them?
Is this a toffee apple?
Sorry, Robbie, if you're listening, that we've
toffee apple
the name
cookies
of your
from the Jesmond Cake Company.
Muffant.
And have a little muffant taste of that now.
Sorry, Robbie. Do you want Robbie's muffant?
Yeah. Oh my God, those toffee apple cookies are amazing.
What do you think this is? That's looks like the poo emoji.
Yeah.
Except it's white and it's got a carrot cake underneath it, right? Okay. I'll have that then.
I want to know, while we're trying these sweet things, if there's anything that any of you eat in like a particularly ritualistic way, like people have a way that they eat their Kit Kat or their... Often it's confectionery, isn't it? Something like cream eggs and stuff like
Jaffa
that.
Jaffa cakes.
Jaffa cakes.
Naked
talk
in
me
car
through
park.
It, Katie.
I eat my Kit Kat with the thought of dying African babies running through my head as I pour more money into the pockets of Nestle. Don't
you
want to
stop that? It's a great life he's making for himself. Katie, yes? You were about to start talking then.
We eat the cake off.
Of Jaffa cake, yeah, yeah, yeah. Eat the cake entirely off.
Yeah, yeah.
And talk me through it in quite
not
a lot
cake,
of detail.
Not a cake, is it, really? Not a cake.
Yeah, no,
tax,
let's
for
just...
For tax purposes.
Okay, if it's a yeah. cake, why is it in the biscuit aisle?
Good, that carrot cake, good. Oh, it looks
like
good. That's
cakes.
A good reaction. Shit, this looks incredible.
It's not, I feel sorry for Jaffa cake, oh because God. Obviously the cakes aren't happy with it, so it's... They've right. said, yeah, piss off the biscuit aisle. And then it turns out the biscuit aisle, the biscuits are like, ooh, get you. Cake, are you? Oh, fuck off.
Do you feel like cakes are higher than biscuits?
Yeah. Cakes
yeah,
are
in the hierarchy of sweet things, cakes yes. are definitely higher than biscuits.
Filthy,
cakes
amazing.
Are like your royals and biscuits are like your us.
I'd put that the other way around.
Yeah, he's kind of, he's like one of them up to an arse fancy Nancy biscuits in a fox's assortment or something.
Tell you what, I don't quite know how to get into
I'm a rich tea, okay. And not even a McVitie's rich tea. I'm a poor
tea.
Own brand rich
poor
tea.
Basics.
Yeah.
Can I just say that Jess was trying to photograph the cake that she's eaten, and then she dropped her phone and she dropped the cake. Mm. But everything's all right now because she's managed to get it in her
3 seconds.
Oh my God, that's one of the best. That's one of the sexiest pictures of me anyone's ever taken.
But what's in your what's in that little? There's parcel some, that you're eating.
There is. Oh, it just tastes of like amazing croissant at this point. It, to be honest, it's going to take a bit of graft.
I had to cut mine in half and share right. it with someone.
I haven't got. Yeah,
so it's
I've not
it's
got
a
knife for that.
Croissant pastry.
What flavour is it?
Lemon and poppy seeds.
Katie, I do really want to hear about your Jaffa cake with no interruptions. tell me about the cake bit. Do you like it? Do you take it off in one swipe, one bite? How you get? Do you use a knife to get in there to take? Because this is you've just very flippantly gone cake off first, as if that's just like the easiest manoeuvre of all time, and not something that's perhaps quite sort of
the bite and peel.
Bite and peel. Okay, now we know. Next,
chocolate off.
Whoa, 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 whoa! What? With your hands?
Teeth.
Teeth, right. So what edges first? Because we've got a sort of very fragile UFO here, haven't we? Absolutely nothing. There's absolutely no structural integrity left whatsoever. This has got about to melt written all over it. And
that's
then...
why you've got to eat them really quick and loads in a row.
I know, and it's given us so much context now that we've got the pace that's going on here. Boom,
12.
Thing, peel, brrr, or edges first, and then off
yeah.
the top, what, and hopefully in like shards off the top, or are you licking? If it gets to licking, are we getting to licking until you've just got a tiny orange disc of orange, is that what we're after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like...
And then that goes in, what, just whole, almost like
yeah.
a tablet, straight to tongue?
Yeah.
And then what, gulped down in one like a snake then, or do
no,
you
I think
slowly
I might
suck
choke
that?
If I did that.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm already mentally preparing for the next one.
does it hold its own, this orange disc? Does
yeah.
it, can you could you like spin it on your finger if you wanted?
No, it's too sticky.
Yeah.
All right, it would flop down.
Yeah. I think it would kind of fly off. And
you
it'd
wear
be like
it like
one
an
of
eye mask.
On
yeah.
Relaxing, zesty eye mask.
Yeah.
60s contact lens.
All the citrusy goodness.
Yeah.
I heard it was one of you five a day.
Yep. Seymour, have you got anything that you eat in any that have to be eaten in a certain way? He's done a good smirk. That whatever that shard of lemony poppy seedy sugar is on top of it.
No, not really. Sausages.
Sausages, yeah.
Should be chomped.
Chomped. Like as if while you're eating them, you're saying sausages like a dog does. Like that. Sausages.
Like you put a Christmas tree in the chipper.
Practice, yeah. You get faster.
Get it. So is that to avoid tasting it because you don't know what it is?
No, it's fun.
Cause you know, yeah, fun. It's fun, isn't it? So
eating
fun.
Should be fun. It's what it lose when you grow. When kids know how to play with their food, or they wouldn't get told off for it. You lose that when you're grown up. You take it all too serious, innit? It's all too serious.
Not if you're on your own in the house. Who licks their plate?
Yeah.
Lick the plate, lick the bowl.
This is amazing.
I'm offering a little bit
of... sharing a bit of carrot cake around.
Very moist carrot cake.
Yeah.
I'm not sharing this.
I'm just going to take a piece.
It's delicious.
It looks amazing.
It's divine. Yeah, but it's very moist. To the point of liquefaction. What do you think of that? Ooh, she didn't faint there.
It wasn't my turn. That's so good.
Isn't that nice?
I'm always so. These cakes are also vegan.
Carrot cake, mate.
Is this the cake from the cake company?
When a vegan cake has got the frosting nailed on it, I'm blown away.
I'm blown away.
That's really, I think, quite hard to do because I've I make a big vegan carrot cake all the time. And I've made the big vegan carrot cake that I make for three friends' weddings is now, which is terrifying. But I always have to make the icing out of vegan marge with icing sugar and then loads, so much zest, whatever, and it's yummy. Normally you'd use cream cheese. And I've had people from baking say to me, no, use cream cheese, that'd be so much nicer. But vegan cream cheese doesn't go.
One.
No, not savoury ones. You know, that like, you'd buy like a tub that looks. It's one of the things I think vegans have nailed taste wise. That it just does taste. The good ones just taste exactly the same as Philadelphia or whatever. It's not like that's a particularly distinctive, nuanced flavour that you can't recreate with whatever it is they're making it out of. But as soon as you put icing sugar on it, it just goes liquid. It's gross. It just turns into a puddle. So I'd love to know. I know that we've got the person who made these here. Would you tell us how you did the icing? Is it a clever? Stabilised vegetable shortening.
Stabilise it with it, like
I don't know what the words mean.
She said shortening, and I don't know what shortening is.
Stabilise vegetables like
make
tracks.
Less
tracks.
Long.
Tracks.
T-Rex means
T-Rex.
But what is it?
Oh, it's a brand. Is it a brand?
But what is
like vegetarian
shortening? What is Trex?
Vegan shortening.
What's in it?
It's like lard.
Is it just? Is it
like
fat?
Fake lard.
Is it?
Yeah, for
it's
vegans.
Like lard,
is it coconut?
Lard.
It doesn't taste of coconut. Normally when it's swapped in for coconut, everything really tastes of coconut, but that doesn't. Anyway, Lush. Round of applause, I think.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Short.
The actual carrot cake as well was incredible. Like it's the spice.
So
it's got loads of spices
delicious.
In.
It's
is
really
incredible.
Good. It's delicious. It's really lovely.
Yeah, I like the carroty flavour. Has it got carrots in? Well, it's good though how you've got that, because I thought that would be difficult doing a vegan cake without the carrot, because obviously you have to do the carrot out.
You're back on that
I'm trying
muff
again.
Quass or whatever it's called.
I've finished my muffin.
Seymour's eating a whole of it.
Seymour's eating a whole one. I want to get to whatever the juicy bit is in
it's
the middle.
It's like a sort of lemon curd in the middle.
Oh, see, yeah. I want that, and I can't
she
get
wanted
to it.
To
I keep
fade
getting
out.
To the sugary edge.
Get your fingers in, love.
Right, now I don't
really
want a fork and make it worse.
More than right to donate originally five of these, although only four of them showed up.
Was that your 14th course?
That was my amuse-bouche before the 13th course. My
good
bouche
point.
Was amused.
Oh, I want to know if any of you have got any hopes or dreams when it comes to eating in the future.
I hope to do it.
Just keep doing it. Get more
very
people. Get that
stronger.
Campaign going. Get more people eating.
Yeah.
Get it down, yeah.
Soon, you got to enjoy it while you can, because soon food will be gone and I'll just be doing colour pills and all that, won't it?
Do you reckon? This is the sort of thing I'm interested in. Do you really think that we'll end up just having, like, what's that stuff?
Acid.
I mean, fingers crossed. There's that stuff called Huel or something, isn't there, where you have... What's it?
St. John's Ambulance.
It's basically hipster slim fast.
Well,
No, no, it's not. You're not unless you're meant to have all the calories you're meant to have, but you don't taste anything. You just get flavourless dust.
Why?
It's for people who genuinely see food. It's for the opposite of people who'd listen to this podcast. It's for people who genuinely see food as just fuel.
Gathering winter hue.
Well, food will just become something for the rich and the privileged, won't it? Once
it's now, man.
The planet over so much, so the huel or whatever equivalent is, like, you know, basically human pigs will be what, like, normal people get to eat. So fucking enjoy it while you can, because it'll be taken off you eventually once the powers at bay start, you know, losing their benefits.
But
I'll
do you really think...
In for you. I'll post you a cruffin. I'll
Hal
get one
bring
of my guys.
Some leftovers from his taster menu round. But do you really think that it's a case of enjoy it while you can, or do you think there's stuff we can do now to prevent that in our lifetimes anyway?
I think just keep eating it. Like...
What, keep eating food?
No, like keep buying from local producers.
Yeah.
And not buying everything from a supermarket because they just dull it all down.
There is a terrifying thing, not getting too political, but
tuck
there was
in,
a thing
mate.
About American food lobbyists and some of the laws that they're trying to, if they do a trade deal, where some of them, like the meat, what they do to it is...
Just stop eating it, man.
Genuinely insane.
Yeah.
Genuinely, well, you'll know better than me the actual details... Because I skim read the article
I
while
just read
eating
the
a cruffin. But yeah, it was like they some of the stuff they like they boil the this sounds like
brass
eye. They boil the chickens in brine. No, they grow giant chickens with five heads. I can't remember what they do, but they do.
They've
in
got
America,
no. They've got no
Google
food.
It. They do
they're
some
like,
mental stuff to meet in America.
They're about 25 years behind every other
steroids.
Every steroids. European country when it comes to animal welfare standards and stuff. Yeah.
They also do. They do crazy stuff. So they get. Joints of beef, I don't know which cut, Stephen will kill me for this, and then they inject it with fat so it looks like it's more marbled.
Right.
And it's just gross. Like. Yeah.
But, I mean, even just when the animals are still alive, they can, like, tether them to... Oh, that's so bleak. But what's frightening about Brexit, potentially, if we have a no deal, is that we'll have to do a... We might potentially have to do a trade deal with America, so we might... That might be... And ultimately, I think you make a really good point about buying from local producers stuff more and more. But, that's... It's privileged in the sense that unless you live in the countryside next to a couple of people who've got farms, that have got livestock, who've got stuff that you can buy affordably from them, there's so many people now that we have to use supermarkets as well. So there's probably, as lovely as it is to think that everybody could just be getting a lot more nice, kind of locally produced, beautifully, friendly, reared everything. We have to be realistic, I think, as well about lobbying the people who are going to be mass producing most of the food that people are going to be eating for that to be better.
I think also like
what's that?
Eating less
like,
meat.
Yeah,
I totally.
I thought you just said eating less, and I was like, I don't want to address that. I don't answer. Yeah, I literally welled up at the thought. But yeah, of course.
I think eat less.
Even Jay Rayner says we should eat less meat. If Jay Rayner can. Well, yeah, but I don't know about that.
His mum had some fairly dodgy advice in the very
Well, says. Some of it was hilarious.
In terms of Brexit, though, you know, we get a lot of food from the EU.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and we have that trade deal in. So when you go around Morrison's, which is the nice posh supermarket that I go to, because it's nearby and it's great, I just had a little look this morning. Everything. Yeah.
Everything
could come from of course it has. So I don't know what we think we're going to eat.
Yeah. Are any of you...
Yeah.
I shop at Aldi because you can get all your, like, products, you know, all your Nestle products that you refuse to buy, you can get them from Aldi, but they're called something else. And
but my favourite thing that Aldi do is...
Exactly the same.
Aldi's fake club bars are called Seals.
Yeah. Is it Club
To be fair, I think they're probably their idea and a twist on penguins and someone's got confused. But it's ultimately amazing. Aldi's amazing for some stuff. Yeah. But have any of you done any Brexit hoarding? Have any of you, like, up to the tins and the...
No, I don't believe in the politics of fear.
Amazing. OK, that's a strong answer.
Well, it's pointless, isn't it? I mean, all this, it's just games played between rich people. You know, their life... Whether we're in Europe or not in Europe, you know, it affects a certain amount of people in different ways, but it won't have much effect on people like me and my situation because, you know, people at the bottom will always be at the fucking bottom. It doesn't matter who's all these dicks at the top playing games, isn't it? It's just the difference of whether or not your laws are passed down by a load of fucking idiots in Brussels or a load of fucking idiots in London. Of course, there's not that much difference. So.
I think the difference is that we're part of the fucking idiots in Brussels and then won't be afterwards. So
well, you know, yeah, but they try and make the only reason that stuff like that matters is because they fucking tell you it matters on the news. The news is just entertainment. The news, if it wasn't entertainment, nobody would watch. They want people to watch. And that's why the stuff like that matters. It doesn't fucking matter to me. I can't affect any kind of change. It doesn't matter to me who's the fucking president of North Korea. I can't do nothing about it. So why should I sit in the house and feel bad about it just because the people on the news are going, no, everything's terrible.
Well, yeah, you can affect change, man, but you've got to be part of it. Of course you can.
It's now a bad time to ask for a little bit more fennel sausage. I'm going to stockpile.
I want
it
to
in my body.
I want to find a way specifically for Seymour to affect change specifically in Northern Korea.
Yeah.
There's got to be a way. I think collectively. Once
the only way to affect
goes out,
is violent revolution. That's sort of proven.
One man
history,
violent revolution.
Violent revolution.
Were you in Pret in my dream?
They're not going to tell you that, are they? They're not going to say to you, "Oh, by the way, if you really want to affect change in society, probably violent revolution is a good option." You're going to go, no, you, peaceful protest, that's the thing to do. Is it fucking right? Yeah. That makes a lot of changes, doesn't it?
I definitely think you can affect change. Like, I don't agree with most of the meat industry at all.
Yeah.
So we opened a butcher's so we could supply people with better quality meat.
Yeah.
For cheaper than the supermarket does on a like-for-like product.
Yeah.
Because I'd rather people ate less meat but better quality.
Yeah,
like
amazing.
You definitely can do it, but it does. It's hard, but
you're doing it. You're proving that you can do it.
We can go out and tell people why they shouldn't be buying meat from a supermarket because you have no idea where it's come from, whereas we know all the farmers.
Yeah. Also, supermarkets are quite canny at putting like a packaging and logos on it that makes it look like it's come from a very cute little farm just down the road, isn't it? You're like,
happy hens where the hens were just called Happy.
That's literally just their name. They were very terrible life, but they call them, it's like dogs called Lucky that go missing.
It's an incredibly bizarre marketing strategy anyway when you think about it, just generally speaking, that they use the, you know, the cartoon characters of the murdered animal that you're buying to sell you the product, isn't it? I'm a fucking happy pig, come and eat me.
There was a website that sort of debunked a lot because there was things like corn-fed something chickens, which again you read that and go, oh wow, they fed them corn. Of course they fucking did.
We get people coming in for, they're like, is all your produce grass-fed? And we're like, yeah, like the beef, all of this. And they're like, are your chickens grass-fed? We've just given up being like, chickens can't eat grass. So we're just like, no, really sorry, they're not. And they walk out.
We feed them on scraps of metal from a disused car. I can't remember what question we were on. Oh, hopes for the future. Hal, any? If you could try and be a bit more optimistic than Seymour, that'd be nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard because Seymour makes a very good point. I suppose I'm probably in the, like, yeah, I get my meat for block and bottles. I know where it's come from and it's tasty and I'd rather eat less of it less frequently and have it that's really nice. I don't know, in the future, I hope every meal is 13 courses. that'll be my hope for the future.
You could free up a lot of time, couldn't you? There'll probably be the technology in the future so that we can have a feast like that of a weekend and then, oh, God, I mean, I don't know if I'd ever want this, but because you've probably, if you could just, body could eke that fuel out then for, 4 days, so that you could get a lot more done, but it'd be a sadder life, wouldn't it? Any hopes for the future, Charlie?
Yeah, I hope to learn to cook.
Oh, really? Yeah. You're not into cooking?
Well, today I have a little story. It's quite boring. But because you said that I could come on this programme, I think I thought that I was a cook.
Great.
So I make my own bread now. Well, when I say that, I put it in a bread machine, right? But it does take us an hour and a half to separate the eggs from yolks and because I'm just not very good at it.
Do you want a tip?
Well, I got a plastic bottle and sucked them in.
That's exactly it. Yeah, you put an empty plastic bottle over the. Well, you crack the egg and then you squeeze the empty bottle and then you put it over the yolk and then you release it and it sucks just the yolk up into the bottle and then it can plump it back out on its own.
And then, or
use your hands. Yeah.
Well, I'm getting better at it. But when I first tried, it was like an unexploded bomb. And I went through about 30 eggs before I managed to get one that I properly separated. But so I don't throw anything out. So I then keep the yolks of the eggs. You've got to put the egg white in the bread because it's the glue. It becomes the glue. So then I keep the yolks in the fridge for. Couple of months until they're so rancid I can then just throw them out and I haven't wasted anything. so I keep on the lookout for things like there must be something you can make with yolks. Well, and I saw something in The Guardian and it was like hollandaise sauce and I like that. And it only had three ingredients.
It's really complicated.
Yolk, it didn't. White wine vinegar and I thought I've got that in. I've got it in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Yolks in the fridge, quite fresh. Yeah. And butter. And it was like, right, that's all you do. I'm going to do it. So today, because I thought I was a cook, because I was coming on this programme, I set about it. And it said, separate the yolks. Well, I'd already done that. And then it said, put the vinegar in a small pan and simmer it until it's half the size. And it said, well, how do you know what's half the size of the vinegar?
That. Just get a Bain-Marie, bung it in.
Well, that was the next thing. And then it said, put the yolks in and put it in a bowl over a pan with simmering. I just said, I'm not doing that. All right, I must do it. I'll follow the recipe. Okay. So I put the pan in a bigger pan with some water going on that I don't think was simmering. So I turned it up high and the egg just turned into scrambled egg.
Aww.
Straight away. So it's like, right, what do I do now? Get the butter in. 75 grams. I'm not putting that in. Do what it says. So I put it in. But what I missed out was the word melted. So I got this massive lump of lure packing and it just kept, sorry for advertising, it was just general butter. From a store.
No, advertising. But it's not radio.
It just said, whisk until it thickens and nothing happened. So the butter wouldn't turn in with the egg. The egg stayed on its own. So
the butter was so angry about what you'd done to the egg that it wouldn't even melt.
Yeah, the vinegar had gone. That had evaporated or something. And so I was left with a pan full of grease.
Dairy
and a floating yellow lump. So do you know what I did?
Ate it anyway.
Yeah.
Yes! Yeah!
So, in the future, I hope to be able to cook better than that.
Oh, amazing. Good effort. I've never tried to make a hollandaise sauce. Also, I don't know what a Bain-Marie is.
Oh, man.
What's a Bain-Marie?
It's French for water bath.
Now, how do you know that? You said that is such
that
a bourgeois concept, surely.
AF.
What, just a MasterChef?
So it's a bowl.
It's a pan of water with a bowl over the top.
In one of your,
but is it completely covered, or can you just rest it in the middle of a big sauce pan?
It's in your oven, you would fill the tray, your oven tray with water, and then you'd put your thing in. So
you know when people do soufflés in the oven? And
so
you
it just
them.
Makes a bit of steam. So.
How can I whisk something if it's in the oven?
Just like you get a slightly smaller pan, and then just put a bigger bowl on top.
Well, do what happens,
that was a better way of...
get your butler to do it.
This muffont is one of the most delicious things I've ever eaten, but it's also... Nice, it's the lemon curd in the middle is fucking amazing, isn't it? But it does, it's such filth. Like, you can't eat it without getting... My entire outfit, face, it probably sums in my pants. It's like the sort of thing that you're like, I'm having to eat this like a Viking's pet dog. The ghost of Thatcher has arranged a tidal wave and it's heading straight for that toon. The ghost has agreed to go back quietly into hell, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, make a 400-metre relay team, my panel, but you all have to run your 400 metres up to your waists in milk and pulling a Volvo estate full of snow globes, which I think we can all agree are surprisingly heavy. It sounds impossible, but you do it!
You are like the most highly lauded, most everybody's so grateful. You're going to go down in history as having done something amazing. You've affected change. You've made something better, even just as one person. Anyway, your reward officially for this incredible accomplishment is the feast of your dreams. So nothing in this has to be possible. I don't want it to be ethical, healthy. Don't give a shit about any of that. I want to know what you're eating in your dream situation, what you'd eat, what you'd drink, who with, and where. Hal has done the podcast before and knows the question, so I'll ask you, Hal, if you...
Oh, right, you're going to get me to do it.
You can do me a speed answer.
Oh, a speedy answer. Well, I would have some meat from Block and Bottle.
Yes!
And I would be with all my friends and family, and I'd be in the Ouseburn Valley. I'm just going to do shameless promoting because I've already answered this question before. So I'd wander around the Ouseburn Valley. I'd go to the cookhouse for lunch. I'd have a meat, salt, smoked charcuterie in my pocket, which I'd be washing back with some Northern Alchemy ale. And then I'd finish off with a cruffin from Robbie at Northern Rye.
So you're saying is you do this exact podcast again.
I'm literally
again.
What we just do, yeah. Or option two, I just sit behind a desk with a microphone, drinking beer and eating cake from Jasmine Cake Company with you lovely people.
Yay, Seymour?
I don't know, maybe have some biscuits of chocolate on if I change.
Lovely.
What was the other elements to the question?
Anything to drink?
Tea.
Yeah, normal tea. How do you take your tea?
Milk and one sugar.
Lovely.
Strong tea. Proper
favorite
tea.
Favourite brand of tea?
Normal.
Normal, any normal. Yeah, good.
Anything, mate, anything. Tetley, you know, Yorkshire, I'm not by the salad, same, innit?
Yeah.
Ridiculous. Brainwashing.
Oh, you're going to get some shit for that on Twitter. Yeah, I mean,
like, there's a difference between Yorkshire tea and Tetley. Oh, there is. No.
Oh, there is.
There you go.
There is.
Yeah. Basically, it's all the same, innit? You know what I mean? It might be a slight difference.
Like. Who would you have there? No one.
Probably. I'd invite everyone, but no one would come.
Katie,
I would probably have like a big barbecue cookout,
mm-hmm.
and just I'd probably do it at like the Cumberland,
Cumberland
Arms pub, outside, so like you can invite all your friends. There's enough space.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'd just invite a lot, and I'd invite loads of people who can actually cook, unlike me,
okay.
and then they can do the cooking.
Lovely.
And I'll just pour the drinks. But yeah, lots of really, really nice beers. And it would be sunny. We'd have some sours.
Are there any secret techniques to pouring beer?
Hal can have more of the marmalade.
I'll have the marmalade. 7.4%. Yeah, yeah.
Followed by some Jakehead.
Exactly.
Oh, lovely.
I don't get sour beer.
Do you pour beer like you pour wine out of interest? Are you supposed to twist at the end or anything like that? Or is the glass supposed to be at an angle for beers like this?
I put it on an angle.
Yeah. What, just to 45 degrees?
Yeah, is that that?
Yeah.
And then, just it depending how fizzy the beer is, so you don't get too much head, but also so it's not like totally flat.
Okay, perfect. Oh, that's just the last bit of intel there.
Charlie. Well, when I was on Emmerdale, because I've worked in a lot of bars, I could time my speech to pour a pint of lager in real time and get me last words to go, you know, la la la, Rodney. Flick the switch up and there's the pint of beer.
Yay! That is so impressive. I've worked.
Nobody gave a damn.
No!
And I was like, all that training. And it was like, cut next.
Oh no.
My hands weren't even in shot. They don't care.
So your answer to the question, please.
Well, it's not very fantastical. It's kind of based in reality. I'd be in Cairns on Heaton Road.
Ooh.
And I'd be having sag paneer and brinjal bargee and I'd have a load of rice. And because I wouldn't be a celiac in this fantasy,
I'd
have a massive naan and a big pint of Cobra beer.
Whoa, lush. I think that sounds lush. And can I ask, on the naan front, are you going straight up, or are you having a garlicky one or a pishwari one?
Can I have half coriander,
half Peshwari.
Oh, win, win.
Oh, yeah, you can.
They do 20% off if you get it to take away as well, just as a money-saving tip. I mean, I pretty much saved the world, Charlie, but 20% off, mate.
Oh, it's good, though, isn't it?
It's a good discount. It's good.
No, the food, I meant, not the discount.
Both sound pretty good to me. Sounds like lush food and cheaper lush food. Ding, ding. We're coming to the end. Is there anything else anybody wanted to mention? And also, is there anything you want to plug at the moment, anybody? Anything you've got going on that you want to go out on a podcast? People should come to see you at, read something you've done, come and buy something you've made.
Please, miss.
Yes.
I've got a new job and I'm in the third series of Ackley Bridge.
Ooh.
And I'm playing a domestic science teacher.
Brilliant.
And if I ever have to cut up an onion, they're gonna have to get a hand double in.
This week we're making hollandaise sauce.
Once you've separated the eggs, we've got to cut it.
Brilliant. Okay, we should look out for that. Hal?
Nope.
Come and see that man, Hal, do stand-up. He's bloody ace.
Yep. I've got a monthly panel show at the Stand Comedy Club called Matt and Hal's Gag Reels, but you've got to be in Newcastle for that. So
come to Newcastle. Right,
yeah. Come to Newcastle,
yeah. Come to Newcastle, especially.
And yeah, just do a bit of stand up here and there if you want to come and see us. I'm the only person in the world called Seymour Mace, so if it says I'm on at your local club, that's probably me. Brilliant. If it isn't, please let me know.
Are either or both of you doing Edinburgh?
Yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I might be doing a half run. Not
okay,
full,
cool. Well, maybe waiting. You can come and see. Well, you can
half past one
soon.
In the afternoon, stand three.
Hey,
yeah, see more show about how he beats depression, which I haven't done yet. So. Yeah.
This is like the sequel. Is it a sequel?
I made the plan after last year. I thought I'm going to do a show about how I beat depression. And then I tried to beat depression and I failed. So now the show, I've told everybody it's going to have this and that and all this stuff. And now it's going to be a show about how I didn't beat depression.
Brilliant. Katie?
Just come to my shop.
Yeah.
It's it's Block and Bottle. We're the first butchers and craft beer shop in the UK and at the Gateshead and the High Level Bridge. And come eat delicious salami and drink lots of beer.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Hear, hear. All right, great. Thank you, lovely people, for coming out. I think that's everything, isn't it? I think that's everything. I hope you've had a nice time. I think we can all agree I've had fun. That's what matters. Thanks so much for coming. Hey! Goodbye. And a massive thanks to all my guests. They've been amazing.
Thank you, guys.
Well done.
Lovely. Yum in my tum.
What magical guests. Do check out their work, please. And also follow them on social media. What a fizzy lot of fun they were. And don't forget, there's a special offer over at patreon.co.uk/thehooveringpod from now for 2 weeks to get exclusive access to the other secret 25 minutes of this show if you join or jump up to the £10 tier or above before the 12th of April. Follow us on the social medias as well. We're at The Hoovering Pod. You can follow me at Jessica Fosterkew. We're on all the main ones, the Instagrams and the Facebooks and Twitters. If you'd like to email me and find links to all my gigs and The Hoovering Lives, go over to jessicafosterkew.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering's produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered.
Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.